always feel sorry for readers when they get these names. I've often had lecturers say to me, there's no big names in that reading, is there? Nobody knows how they're supposed to be pronounced, so there you go. In the lectionary this morning, we move from Jesus' baptism to the beginning of his ministry. We don't touch on the temptations in the wilderness, which really comes between the baptism and this passage. We'll read that during Lent. We discover that Jesus has been living in Nazareth and decided it would be prudent, given Jesus' arrest, to leave. This is a place where he has family and friends. He also has some enemies. Who does he know in Capernaum? The gospel doesn't tell us. Did Jesus leave and go to Capernaum knowing he would have a place to stay? The gospel doesn't tell us. Instead, we have a narrative about the call of the first disciples by Jesus, according to Matthew. We read a different call, or a slightly different call, last week from the Gospel of John. The story has some curious elements. Jesus sees the fishermen and invites them, Andrew and Peter, to follow him. There is no conversation in which he convinces them of the rightness of his mission. And he just says this very curious thing, follow me and I will make you fishers of people. What on earth can that mean? They immediately leave their nets. They drop them. Now, these nets were send nets, and they were weighted, and you would drop them, they would drop them in the water and then drag them across the bottom of the lake and then pull them up. And so whatever it was got caught in those nets, that was their catch. They leave it, they just drop them, fish, everything, and follow him. There's no hesitation at all. And you can imagine impetuous Peter being the first to run towards Jesus. No hesitation. James and John are in a boat doing a similar kind of fishing, and they're with their father. Now imagine how heavy that net would be with the weights and the fish. Surely it would take more than a couple of people to pull it up into the boat. And they leave him immediately alone to do this work. Immediately. No hesitation, no questioning. Why would you do that? Some people might say, oh, well, they'd already met Jesus in the town, and, well, it doesn't tell us that. And that's not why it's important. It's important that there is no hesitation. I think the clue is in the quotation from Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. On them, the light has shined. The disciples, these four, may not have had words to explain what they did, but they were drawn to him as a moth is drawn to the light around the house. And was that light, was it the light of God's love, also the power of God working in him? The light of God shining in Jesus, the power of God's love shining in Jesus. Was that reassuring? So they thought, well, I don't even think they thought well. They just went. I think when I read that story, and perhaps when we all read that story, we think, well, I think I would have hesitated. I think I'd have asked a few more questions, like, where are we going? Or where are you going? Where are we going to eat? Where are we going to stay tonight? All those kinds of questions I think I would ask. But I think that that's something that perhaps we would do. We hesitate because we tend to think about any change in our lives. In Wednesday's Bible study, we talked about what causes us to hesitate to try new things, worship or in ministry. We decided it was fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of failure, fear of rejection. So many fears. Judith Timpson, a journalist, wrote a column in Friday's Star enumerating all the fears of our age, from the mistaken alert about the Pickering nuclear plant, to climate change, to the coronavirus, to daily fears of losing a job, being hit by a car, of disease, illness. But she offers no solution. All is darkness, the darkness of fear. But light dispels darkness. Even the smallest candle flame will give light around it. I remember when I was a little girl, I didn't like the dark. I hated the dark. I still don't like the dark. I have shears in my house, not drapes, not curtains. I have shears. Let all the light in as possible. And there was a house on our street. It may have been the original farmhouse, I don't know. And it was set way back from the sidewalk. And to get from the corner of our street to my house, I had to go past this house. And it had bushes and trees around it. And there never seemed to be any light in the windows. It was dark. It was creepy. It was scary. And I would run as fast as I could to get past it. I don't know what I thought was going to happen, but I didn't want to know. I ran. And I ran home, where there was light in the living room window. There was light in the kitchen window. So even before I got in the house, those lights dispelled the darkness of the fear that I had of this one house. We live in a time when the light of Christ is needed. And for many people, that light is hard to see. It's hard to see where the light of God's love can take away the fear of darkness. And that's where we come in. We as Christians, we as people of St. Paul's, we have to believe in that light of Christ. And we must see it, and we must embody it and live it. Folks need to see that light in us to dispel the darkness of the fears that they have, of the pain that they have, the darkness of all that they see around them in the world. And I'm not trying to be Pollyanna. I'm not trying to take away that there are true fears. But how do we cope with them? How do we live with them? That's where we as Christians with the light of Christ in us can offer hope. That even in our moments of darkest despair, the light of Christ can shine through. The light of Christ we know is with us. The fear may be real, but it doesn't have to have a hold on us. Christians, like the disciples, have a piece of work to do in the world. To be the light of Christ, to enlighten the world. Can we do that? Have you got the light of Christ in you? If someone saw you on the street or in the grocery store or in your workplace, would they see the light of Christ shining in you? That's our goal, for the light of Christ to shine in us so that we can share that with those we meet, with those we love, and it will also remind ourselves that we are God's beloved children. We are called to be disciples. And God has given us the power of his love to do the work that he has for us. Amen.